Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism to uncover its hidden beauty. Come join us as we take a closer look and breathe new life into traditional Jewish ideas. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel.
Hello, and welcome to episode 59. Today is the Jewish holiday of Tu Bishvat, the 15th day of Shvat, which the Mishnah in Tractate Rosh Hashanah teaches us is the New Year's for the trees. In the practical sense, what does this mean? Why do trees need a new year? So there are many agricultural laws in the Torah, such as not eating from a fruit tree for its first 3 years, which is called Orla, or giving certain tithes to the priests, to the Levites, to the poor. And the Torah, like every good financial organization, has its own fiscal year. The fiscal year for fruit that grows on trees is Tu Bishvat, meaning fruit harvested before this date are considered of the previous year for all accounting purposes, while fruit harvested afterwards are considered those of the new year. Additionally, all trees share the same birthday, so when Tu Bishvat comes, they all become 1 year older regarding not eating the fruit for the first 3 years. And although I'm sure many of you are fascinated by the Torah's agricultural laws, you may be wondering why this is so relevant to us nowadays, for sure outside of Israel. Or maybe why did my Jewish day school make me eat bukser every year on Tu Bishvat? At least I know mine did. Why are we celebrating the end of the farmer's fruit tree's fiscal year? There obviously has to be more depth here. So Kabbalah discusses how when we take a deeper look at the representation of trees, we'll see that we really have much more in common than it appears. How is that? Let's start with an explicit verse found in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19, which describes the biblical prohibition of cutting down a fruit tree. This is known as Bal Tashchis, the prohibition against destroying something useful, and in Jewish law it extends far past just destroying fruit trees. However, in the Torah, the explicit example of being wasteful is cutting down fruit trees. The verse says, "When you lay siege on a city for many days to wage war and capture it, do not destroy its trees, axing them down, for you shall eat them and you shall not cut them down." And the verse continues with an explanation, which is really pretty unique. It's not so common for the Torah to explain the reason for mitzvahs. In general, we can find that in the oral law. So it's noteworthy whenever the Torah goes ahead and does that. So the verse says, "Why should you not cut down these fruit-bearing trees? Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. Because man is like the tree of the field." So we find that the Torah seems to explicitly compare man to a fruit tree. Additionally, the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13 tells us that if we listen to God and fulfill his commandments, he will bless us with, quote, "the fruit of your stomachs and the fruit of your land." The Torah uses the same word, pri, or fruit, to describe children that are born to people and fruit that come from trees. Lastly, another usage of the word fruit regarding people can be found in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, which says, quote, "Tell the righteous that he did good, for he shall eat the fruit of his actions." So we find again that same word pri, that same word fruit, to be referring to good deeds, the positive actions done by righteous people. So what is this comparison? In what way are people like trees, and are our children and actions compared to fruit? The Maharal, who I've quoted many times in this podcast, discusses this connection at length in a few different places and provides an amazing and deep explanation. He begins by looking at the name in Hebrew for mankind. This is a fundamental principle of the Maharal, that Hebrew is like a genetic code, and the letters that make up any word carry those genes. So when you look at the name of something, and you can go even deeper and look at the letters that comprise that name, we can often discover what the Torah views as the unique element of this item. So the word in Hebrew for a human is Adam. As the Torah says in Genesis chapter 1, 27, "And God created Ha'adam, the man, in his image." So we find that the initial creation of man, which seems by this verse to include both the male and female elements of humanity, is referred to as Adam, or really Ha'adam, the man. And the Medrash explains, why is the name Adam used? The Medrash states that it's appropriate to call humans Adam as they were created from the Adama, which means the ground. which is referring to the verse in the very next chapter, chapter 2, verse 7, which says, "And God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life." So man was formed by the ground, and then God blew into him a soul. Since he comes from the ground, Adama, it's befitting to call him Adam. Now the Maharal is very bothered by this, because all animals were created through being fashioned from the physical properties of this world. What distinguishes man from the other animals is the second part of the verse, that God blew into man specifically a soul. But the fact that man was created from the ground, that man was created using the physical building blocks of our world, seemingly is not unique to Adam. It would seemingly apply to all of the animals as well. So if you were to refer to man by his greatness, would it not make more sense to call him by a name that reflects his soul that stems from the upper worlds? Why would we call him Adam because he was created from the ground? That seems so counterintuitive. So the Maharal gives an amazing answer to this question. And as always, if you'd like to see it inside in its original source, you can always find that linked in the episode details. He says that man, Adam, and the ground, Adama, share one amazing and defining quality in common. Ground is unique in that it contains within it amazing potential, and it fulfills its purpose when it actualizes that. As plain dirt, it's just pure potential, but it becomes actualized once you plant a seed in it. It starts nurturing and developing that. It brings forth a tree, a vegetable, a flower, a plant. It takes something that is purely potential and it makes it real. Man, explains the Maharal, unlike animals, is much the same. Man is born with tremendous potential, and his or her job is to actualize that potential, to be the Adama, to be the ground that nurtures their inner greatness, to mature and develop themselves until they can become a wholesome person. And that's why their good actions and children are called fruit. It's the actualization of the potential that's already existing inside of a person. The Maharal adds that an animal in Hebrew is called a behema. In Hebrew, that's spelled beis hei mem hei. And it's really a contraction of two words, beis hei ba, mem hei ma, which means in it is what it is. Whatever it's going to be is already contained within it now. There's no development, there's no potential, there's no major maturation process. So I want to ask one more question about Tu B'Shvat, and then let's put it all together. We mentioned that Tu B'Shvat is the beginning of the New Year's for the trees. And the commentaries are bothered that, I mean, look at this year, it's January 17th. We're right in the middle of the winter. The trees are definitely not blossoming here in Richardson, Texas. They're all bare. So why are we celebrating now? The great commentary Rashi explains that even though it's still cold outside, the sap begins coming up from the roots at this time of year, and that allows the buds to begin to form. So let's put it all together now. The holiday of Tu B'Shvat celebrates the new fiscal year for the trees. That is because at this point in time, the new sap is being brought forth, and even though you can't see it yet, it's just purely in potential. It's going to allow for the buds to shoot forth very soon. So we celebrate it now. In other words, we're celebrating the potential inside of the tree. We're recognizing that even though it's still January and there may not be leaves or buds on the tree yet, internally that tree is working through the process necessary to bring forth the new year's crops, to actualize its potential. And as we mentioned, man is like a fruit tree. Kabbalistically, this is the human experience as well. Even when it's cold outside in our human experience, the days are short and darkness seems present most of the day. Remember, our collective name is Adam, Adam. And remember that we're called this because we're like that ground, we're like that Adama. And just like those trees that are drawing forth the nutrients from that ground, and they look bare, but in reality the sap is going up now and it's preparing for the buds and the future fruit to come, so to us, even when times are difficult and dark and cold, we have to recognize that we're developing and we're growing, and it's all part of that process of actualizing that potential that is inside of us to prepare us to bear our greatest fruit. I want to wish everyone a very happy and meaningful Tu B'Shvat, and until next time, have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to the Thinking Jew podcast and for taking the time to study Torah and deepen your connection to Judaism. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating or review and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic requests for Rabbi Moshe, please email thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com or visit thethinkingjew.com.